everyone. This is Kevin, and you're listening to English Roundtable. Today, I'm joined with Noor. How you doing today, Noor?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How about you?
Very good. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
Yes, of course. So if you remember from our previous episodes with Noor, he discussed his kind of upbringing. He was born in Canada. We talked a little bit about him going to Egypt and his experience there. But I would like to talk about the third component of your life and where you've lived.
Yeah.
And that would be Dubai.
Dubai, yeah.
So I don't know much about Dubai. I'm not as worldly as you. So if you could just start with, you know, how you got there. Tell me about your experiences, any misconceptions or differences between maybe Dubai, the rest of the world, or specifically Japan.
Sure. So my father was transferred to Dubai. He was a mechanical engineer.
Yeah,
he was transferred to be the factory manager in Dubai. So that's why we moved from Canada to Dubai. Basically, Dubai is, it's a desert. It's a huge desert area. A lot of sand.
Very hot. And then like a city in the middle.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like?
Yes, that's
just my image.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. It's all sand. There are no forests, no greens.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, of course, they have trees and pine trees, but and also palm trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
But would you say that's mostly just in the city areas?
It's just in the city. Yeah. Outside the city is just desert.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was that like? I mean, you didn't have much experience with nature as far as like forests or mountains, let's say. If you were in Canada, but, you know, for you, I guess that was just natural because that was your start of your life, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So when I came to Japan and seeing all that green and forests, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was beautiful. And in Dubai, because most of the time the air is a little bit dusty, dust in the air, like natural dust. So it's not that clear. It's like having a filter.
Really? It's so, like when you're just looking out, it's just...
There is, like, this dusty... It's a little bit beige, off. Like, it's not really clear. When I came to Japan, it's like suddenly having an HD TV.
Really? That's
interesting. From a regular TV to an HD TV. It's like, oh, I can see everything clearly.
Interesting. And that's you know, being in the desert. You're constantly getting...
Yeah, you always have... some wind will just blow some dust and then... And we have in Dubai a lot of dust or sandstorms.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah. So everything... You just wake up and like everything is yellow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is there a lot of, you know, you're having to go out, clean stuff off?
Yeah.
That type of thing?
Yeah, next day you have to clean.
Wow.
Everything. The car. Like, it's interesting. Like, how often do you have a car?
Not in Japan. I have previously. Yes.
Yeah. But how often do you wash the car?
It's a good question. Let's see. So for me, I was growing up in the South in America. And what the most we got was pollen, like in the springtime.
Yes.
So that, you know, you would have to wash off regularly.
Yeah.
But for just a normal, let's say a normal time, I would say maybe once or twice a month. That's when I would probably clean my car.
Yeah. We have to clean the car like every day.
Wow.
That's how bad.
Like a full washing you're talking about.
No, you can wash it. Full washing maybe once a week or twice a month. But you have to rinse. There's dust. You have to kind of remove it. Yeah. Every day.
That sounds terrible. I'm sorry.
Every day. Yeah, that's not great. Yeah.
So that's just a part of your natural day because you would have to go out and clean that out.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, a daily routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, but this is kind of the job of the janitor, usually. It's interesting. In Dubai, there's a janitor for each building.
Okay.
And he's responsible for cleaning the stairs and the reception and also the cars.
I see.
It's like included. It's just a different system.
Well, that's nice for you, but I feel bad for the janitors. I hope they get paid decently well.
I hope so.
Because that would not be fun.
Yeah.
I would probably be the laziest janitor there if I had to do it. I just get a hose and spray off a car. And
That's what they do, okay, actually. Okay. Just like just hose, spray the cars. All right, that would do it. That would do it.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So let's say you're out and about and a sandstorm comes. What's kind of the... What happens during this? I guess it depends, of course, how big it is, but let's say there's a big one. What's kind of the protocol that you would usually do?
So usually you should avoid driving. Mm-hmm. You can drive, but you have to be very careful. You can go out walking. It's fine. You can still see, but not so much. Yeah.
So what happens if you are driving? Are they kind of want you to pull over on the side of the road and wait it out? Or
no, you can drive, but just be slow.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to be slow because you cannot see as far. You cannot see so much, so you have to be slow.
Would you say it's kind of like a fog?
Yeah.
If you can compare it?
Basically like a fog, so you have to be very slow if you're driving. But most people don't drive during a sandstorm.
Okay, so you probably know ahead of time that there's possibly going to be
something. Yeah, of course. So. There's a weather forecast, and they would say. And usually they would say, stay home and maybe work from home.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Walking is fine, but also having a mask on will be good because you don't want to inhale all that dust. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. If you are, let's say, out and a sandstorm does come unexpectedly, you know, what are you covering your face with? Do you always have some sort of mask? Are you covering up with like a scarf or something?
There's the traditional clothing in Dubai. Have you seen it?
That's kind of what I was referring to.
The headscarf is actually designed to protect you from all that. You can actually wrap it around your head.
There you go.
Yeah. So it works.
Yeah, I would definitely do that and just throw some goggles on and trudge forward.
Yeah. But naturally also... It's interesting. People in the Middle East or in desert areas have like very long eyelashes.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of protects you from the sand going into your eyes.
Very interesting. So just the evolution over time of living there.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
those types of things I think are very interesting with cultures. Mm-hmm. How just over time they've, you know, the evolution of where someone's lived, they had to kind of, their body structure just changed and adapted to it.
Yeah. It takes, of course, like hundreds and like thousands of years, but you can see that happening, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, yeah.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about Dubai. What's it like? You know, we said, you know, it's in the middle of a desert, but it's a city. It's a full-fledged city. Tell me what it's like. It's just a daily life to live there and, you know, experiences people could have.
Yeah, it's a very luxurious area. Mm. A lot of... expensive hotels, malls. It's great if you can afford it.
I see.
Yeah. The salaries in Dubai are high.
Okay.
Depending on the job. Yeah. So probably you can afford it. Rent is very expensive.
I see.
Yeah. What else? There are a lot of beaches, actually, in Dubai.
Really?
Many people don't know that. And there are a lot of beaches. Man-made beaches. But they're actually decent. They're pretty good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Interesting.
Yeah. It just, in the summer, it gets really hot.
What are we talking?
We're talking like 45 to 50.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
And it's probably dry, the air.
It's okay, actually humid as well.
Oh, really? So you get a mix of both?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, that's not
people. People escape Dubai in the summer because it's just extremely hot. You cannot. It's actually dangerous being outside for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have to be indoors. Yeah, not in the direct sun. The government will encourage that. Please don't stay outside for more than an hour.
Wow, you
get a heat stroke.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've joked on this podcast before. With Zane, but we are very, very pale, white-skinned.
Yeah.
I really don't think I would survive in Dubai.
You'll easily get sunburned.
Oh, yeah. I would be toast. I don't think it'd be a good place for me.
So, if anybody wants to visit Dubai, don't visit between June. Oh, actually, May. From May until November. It's pretty hot around that time.
All the way to November.
Yeah. Like now June is not officially summer yet, but it's still 40.
Okay, well, that's summer to me.
It's 40. Yeah. It gets really, really hot in August and September.
Okay.
You will see it's not just the heat, it's also the heat wave. Mm. So it will be hot, like 45, and then a heat wave comes and it becomes 52.
Yeah, that's too much for me, man.
When we were kids, me and my friends, we used to cook on the asphalt or on the... It's like a joke. So you have an egg, you just break it on a car, on mm-hmm. a surface of a car, and it actually cooks.
Wow.
That's how hot it gets.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that, of course, like in TV shows or movies, man, to actually experience and do it, that does show it's very hot.
Very hot, yeah. And if you make the mistake of, like, parking your car outside, not under shade, yeah. If you have, like, leather seats, yeah, you're fried.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You can't even sit down. It's really hot.
Yeah. So speaking of food, what kind of food are we talking about? Is the most common for families or any regular person?
In Dubai, of course, it's very diverse. So you'll find a lot of Indian food, local food. If you're talking about local food?
Yeah.
Local food, like Dubai, like Emirati food, we say. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about biryani?
Mm-hmm. Biryani. I know that.
Yeah. And like this yellow rice with meat. Yeah, this is like the most popular one.
Okay.
Yeah. Traditionally, people don't use spoons. They use their hand.
Right.
Always eat with your right hand, they say.
Why is that? You can explain it. It's okay.
I think the reason is, if you go back in history a long time ago, I think in the past, people used the left hand to clean after the toilet, after they go.
Okay, I see.
They used it, so that's like becoming the dirty hand.
Mm.
And the right hand is the clean one.
I see.
I guess. Yeah.
See, I would have a difficult time because I think I'd do the opposite. So if I ever go to an Indian restaurant and I'm eating like naan or something, I usually like start with my left hand. It's more dominant.
Oh, your left hand is the dominant hand. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something I always have to be cognizant about, is to switch my hands when eating, because I don't want to offend anybody, of course.
But especially Dubai in the UAE is very diverse, so they're very open-minded.
Oh, okay, that's
not
good.
Not strict at all. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that so much.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Mm. So I wanted to now switch over to kind of the infrastructure of Dubai, because it's just so amazing to me over the past, I don't know, decade plus, that the buildings have just sprung up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, is the Burj Khalifa still the highest, the tallest building in the world?
I think so still, yeah.
Have you been?
Yeah.
What's that like? Because it looks amazing.
It is. Especially at night. There is some kind of fountain show and projection mapping on the tower.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. So at night, it's really, really pretty. Yeah. So I worked in Dubai. I worked as a flight attendant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you used Emirates before?
I know of it.
Yeah.
Very pristine airline, I hear.
It was, good 2 years.
Really? I did not know that.
I was based in Dubai.
Okay.
So, we went to a lot of, like, good hotels and, nightlife is great in Dubai. Nightlife is, clubbing or going to restaurants, having, like, different types of food.
Mm-hmm.
So it is great. But in the morning, not so much to do, or the afternoon, because it's too hot.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so that's why the nightlife might be so big there.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, your day starts around 7 p.m.
That's funny.
Yeah. If you're, like, on a day off, for example.
Yeah.
We usually, when I meet my friends, we meet around 6 or 7 p.m.
Okay.
That's in Japan. What time do you meet your friend?
Well, I mean, that's probably when I'd meet my friend. If I was working, yeah.
If you're working, how about a day off?
Yeah, a day off. Oh, yeah. Let's go in the morning.
Maybe, in the morning, right? Yeah, you don't want to waste the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't work like that because, it's too hot to do anything in the morning.
Right.
So, or afternoon.
Interesting. So that's kind of when like you said, the day starts in the evening, goes all night.
Yeah. So yeah, Burj Khalifa Burj is like a tower in Arabic.
Oh, okay.
Burj.
I see.
So they call it Burj Khalifa. Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. Learn something new every day. I did not know that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's great. Like, in my opinion, yeah, it's like a once in a lifetime experience.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can just go up and see the view. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So it probably beats Tokyo Tower and Skytree way beyond, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
I was trying to think of what is the difference. Let's, because for us, you know, what Tokyo Tower is the tallest and in Japan.
Mm.
And then what do you think is the difference of the continuation of the Burj Khalifa? How much more meters do you think it is?
The Khalifa Tower is like 800 and something meters.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I'd have
to look it up.
So it's like a 200 meter difference, I think.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Goodness. Now, are they building anything else that's going to rival
not
that size?
Not really.
So that one right now is going to stay as the tallest building in the world? Yeah.
Because actually, most of Burj Khalifa is not used.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how could you use all of
that? The building itself is not efficient.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a waste of, like, not waste of space, but, I mean, most of it is not used or empty.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's just to go to that height.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So just a lot of money built into be the number one in the world.
And the observatory is not actually in the it's not that high, you know. It's, I don't remember which floor, but you don't go all the way up.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a certain limit of
there's a limit,
of level where people could actually, like, live or stay or do any work.
Yes, yes, yes.
So then those floors above are just empty.
Empty, yeah.
Just space.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just space, yeah.
It would be amazing if it was used all the way. I mean, that would be kind of a scary... I don't know if I want to wake up in the middle of the night and look out and be on the very top.
There are some skyscrapers that actually go above cloud. Yeah, when they go above... You kind of wake up in the morning and just open the window and you're actually above clouds. You can see the clouds.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you just have coffee.
Have you experienced?
Yeah, once.
Wow.
It was surreal. It's kind of like when you climb Mount... Have you ever climbed Mount Fuji?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can see the sea of clouds.
Right.
It's beautiful. So you can just, go to some building and...
I like that better than having to climb Mount Fuji for that view. Ooh, that was brutal.
Yeah. I heard there might be a curse if you don't climb Mount Fuji.
You mean, like, get to the top?
No, I mean, if you're, like, a foreigner living in Japan... You have to climb Mount Fuji. If you don't, you'll be cursed.
I have not heard this.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Have you climbed it?
No, not yet.
Oh, then you're going to be cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I climbed it a few years ago with my father, actually. Oh. That was a nice experience. But going up, no problem.
Going down.
Going down was really hard.
Oh.
If you haven't trained at all, then you would be miserable. But it was, yeah, it was the knees.
The knees, yeah.
That was just the worst part of it all.
How long did it take to go all the way down?
It took about 6 hours for me.
Oh, my God.
And I actually ran a good mile or two back at the last half because I had to get back to my bus. And I realized I wasn't going to make it on time. So I ended up having to run down most of it, or the last half, and then the trek back. And that was,
And you made it?
Good experience. I made it, yeah. But they have, like, donkeys or horses that you can ride, like, on the way down. I mean, it costs, maybe 10,000 yen, but I don't know. If you're struggling, it's definitely worth it.
Of course.
And I almost did it because I was having a rough time. But, yeah, it's very fun. If you do get a chance, definitely do it and get that curse off you.
Okay. All right.
Mm. All right, so I'd like to just kind of wrap up about the Dubai experience. Is there anything that you would like to share that maybe people may think is interesting about Dubai? Why should people go and visit, do you think? What would be your pitch for Dubai?
For Dubai, just experience luxurious life. Have coffee with gold in it.
That's very luxurious.
Gold flakes.
Above the sky. Yeah. Or above the clouds, I mean.
Yeah, have that kind of... definitely go desert camping.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and stargazing is amazing at night.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, having campfire, desert camping is one of my favorite activities in Dubai. Yeah, it's just beautiful. Yeah. And you kind of disconnect from the city. And there are a lot of shows at night. I mean, when you have like in a tent, have a tent, maybe you can sit down with your friends or just join other people and talk. It's just interesting. It's very, very interesting. Have coffee or tea.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, desert camping is definitely a must.
So with desert camping, how does that happen? Because if it gets so hot, so are you going out there like...
Oh, you go at night.
Yeah, so you're going at the, let's say, 7 o'clock. That seems to be the prime time. Yeah. So you just camp through the night, then pack up in the morning once the sun starts coming up.
Exactly. Or just stay, then, like, you don't have to stay overnight. So you can just stay the night and then just go back around midnight. There are usually a lot of jeeps and cars there. They will take you back.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a program. It's like a trip, and there's a guide, and they arrange that for you.
Oh, I see. So you just pay them to let you have the experience.
Exactly.
I see. So you wouldn't recommend like just going out there with your buddies?
You can, but because you know the desert is sometimes dangerous. So you have like, we're talking about scorpions or like snakes, or so you want to go to in a like a protected area.
Okay.
So they know the areas.
Yeah, that's smart. Because my image at first was like, just drive out in the middle of nowhere, set up camp, and then it's like, how do I get back?
You know? Yeah, and also there's quicksand. That's another problem.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Man, there's so many factors I haven't thought about.
Yeah.
I would definitely die within the first night if I did it myself.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure, desert camping is, that's something I would definitely recommend.
Okay, very good. Well, when I get enough money to get out there, I'll definitely do all of that.
Yeah, it's getting more expensive now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, especially because of the Japanese yen.
Now that's true.
It's falling, so yeah.
Yeah, so if you're coming from Japan, it will be a little expensive.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Noor, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for answering my questions about Dubai. I feel I have a little bit more connection to it.
Yeah.
But off air, I definitely want to hear more and get your insights.
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to English Roundtable, made possible by Kan Nagaigo Career College in Tokyo, Japan. If you enjoyed hearing natural English conversation, subscribe and like us wherever you're listening, and check us out on YouTube, Twitter, and our other SNS platforms, which will be in the description for this episode. Head over to the YouTube page to see some of the keywords we used in the conversation and other activities to test your English listening skills. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.